This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You hear, mashaAllah, I'm going to ask a question straight away. How many of you are actually married? Put your hands up. Okay, hands down. How many of you are not married? Put your hands up. And hands down. And how many of you never put your hands up? Put your hands up. In between, my there's some sisters married and not married. And all that I like to say is, you know, there's not that many brothers here. And there's so many sisters here, mashallah. I think, you know, if anybody at any moment feels that, you know, this is the right moment, just, you know, brother side, just step over here, sister side, step over here. I won't charge you. Free of charge, I'll say Bismillah. Yeah, it'll be all done. You can just go downstairs to the Tesco, buy some dates, and then halas. Halas, finished. Go home. The thing is, most of you here are not married. Most of you are not married, only some of you are married. Which then, you know, makes me want to, like, now stress on the part of finding the right spouse. You're going to find the right partner for life. Okay, this is going to be your person that you want to be with for the rest of your life. And get a hold of it for the rest of your life. You know what that means? That means when he's in his 20s and, you know, he's got all his muscles ripping out from his t-shirt, yeah, you love him then, but you're also going to love him the time you look at him and you think that his head, on top of his head, looks like Heathrow Airport. Seriously. So you've got to love him from the moment that he comes to you with, like, all the hairstyle and everything, to the moment that he loses his hair. I mean, he's going to lose his hair in his 30s. It's going to be quite clear. Some of them are losing it in their 20s. And I'm going to tell you a secret, guys. If you're losing your hair at a young age, okay, especially the men, if they're losing at a young age, there's something to do. There's a trick not to lose your hair. Get a hold of it. Don't lose your hair, brother. The trick is this. You go for a shower, and I'm going to say this for the sisters as well. Some sisters are losing their hair as well. The trick is, when you go for a shower, then the water that you use, the temperature, will decide how long you keep your hair. Seriously. You have a hot shower. People love these hot showers. Steaming showers. La ilaha illallah. They just feel like, you know, they're in another world with the hot showers. So I want to say to you, you have a hot shower, that hot shower is going straight onto your scalp. And the roots of your hair are getting very soft. You think about the logic of this. And if you stay there for a long time, because subhanAllah, you know, like back in the days, if you had to have a shower, you had a bucket, you had a jug, and you went, right? And when you did that, you could only take one bucket inside or two buckets inside. That's all it was. But now that you've got an automatic shower, that's a shh. People are loving it. They're staying in there for 45 minutes. 1 hour. 1 hour shower. Wow. You know what you just done? You just killed off your roots. If you're going to have a long shower like this, turn the temperature down. Seriously, turn it down. Because if it's cold water that hits your head, It will, you know, it won't suffer the roots where it all comes out. Now, what you're doing is you are heating up the scalp. Hot water is coming down, and then you're giving it a good scrub. That's how you're losing a lot of hair. That's one. Another one is that, you know, my sisters, you don't want to lose hair, then you better get hijabs that are made of cotton. Okay, it's good to have hijabs that are made of cotton so that there's a bit of, you know, breathing element. Brothers, you wear hats. You wear hats, yeah. Don't wear the hats that don't have any breathing, you know, element in them. If you look at my hat, you will see I've got holes in there. You know why? Because I lost a lot of hair. I did. I used to wear this at Imama all the time. I wore it for about 10 years in a row when I was studying. And there was these hard hats that you get. These hard hats. They're made in Pakistan. Maybe made by, you know, I don't know, whoever lives in the mountains. They're really hard. Quite good for putting an imamah on, but when I used it, basically the heat used to gather inside that it's making me really hot, and because of that I lost a lot of hair. And before I realized it, alhamdulillah, I saved, mashallah, yeah, saved a good amount, because I realized what it was, and then I changed my hat. But the heat that you have here will determine how long you have your hair on your head. And the other thing, obviously, is stress. Okay, one major factor. But anyway, this is not the time to get into that. You want to find your person that you want to stay for life. As I said to the sisters, you want to find that man who's going to be with you for the rest of your life. Now, you want to find the woman who's going to be with you for the rest of your life. And just think about it, okay? No woman will ever stay in her natural beauty when she's 20 years old or 25 years old, and she stays in the same beauty, the same thing all the way till she goes to 40 and 50. There's no woman that goes through that. Because what you see in films is not what actually happens. This, get a hold of the sisters as well. What you see, because you know what most of us have been conditioned by is what we've seen all our lives. This is a big problem. I don't care how you put it, okay? What most men want, what most women want, is what you've been conditioned by your subconscious mind as a perfect man or a perfect woman for your life. That's what you've got in your mind. And who's the perfect man, perfect woman? You ask anyone, you know, the guys want, you know, someone, if you ask any man, though they have a lot of jokes about these women, but they actually like long women. They actually like blonde women, thin, slim, sleek, whatever, women, you know, that's the curves and so on, that's what they want. What do the women want? They want, you know, men that have got broad shoulders, okay, they've got, you know, nice muscular structure. I can see the sister already smiling. Laila Allah. Please, shall I walk on the brother's side now? They love that. They love what the sisters like. They love strength. Where do you get that from? The Quran tells us. Because the Quran says when Musa alayhi salam helped the two women when he was traveling, and the two women they you know, one of them came back. What they realized, the Quran says, "Laqawiyun amin," is that one, he is strong, and the second one is that he's trustworthy. If you really want to get a particular sister, or if you want a sister to be interested in you, brothers, the way to do it is to actually, you know, be strong. Women love that. They love strong men, especially strong in their mentality. They just don't want a strong man in strong muscular. You know, sometimes you see these muscular guys, you know, mashallah, just come out of the gym. Like, he could rip like two men apart. And when he speaks, he says, "Assalamu alaikum." They don't want a softy inside. They want a man, as in, you know, sometimes you get men who are not that muscular. Women will still fall in love with you if you're strong mentally. If mentally you're strong, women will still fall in love with you. And the same, you know, this is from the Quran. But what most people do is that most people fall into the trap of whatever is commonly shown to us and has been shown to us throughout our lives. And what that is the media, it's the adverts, the soap bars, the shampoos, the people that have been advertised on there. The adverts you saw on TV and the commercials that came across your eyesight, all of that somehow makes you think this is going to be the right woman for me. So for example, if you actually ask a man from the Western society and you say, would you actually like, you know, a woman with, you know, mashallah, she's got a bit of, no, not too much, but a bit of fat on her. They're kind of, nah. What's wrong with a bit of fat? Seriously. Our Arab brothers love loads of it. Arab brothers, man, they love loads of it. You put it on, they call it lahm shaham. But the thing is, what makes you think that a woman is not beautiful because she's got a little bit of fat? What makes you think it's what's been put in your head all your life? What makes you think that a guy has to become this sort of macho man who, you know, like, you know, the Gillette adverts that they might show you? Right? The way that this guy's shaving, it's like his skin is like perfect. It's like perfect. What makes you think that that's the perfect man? It's because what they showed you and what you saw. And especially his muscular, you know, outlook, that's what you want. But I want to tell you, sisters, that that's not it. I want to tell you, brothers, that's not it. It doesn't actually do any good for you going for a person who's got all the features you want on the outside if they don't have the features on the inside. if they don't have the vision on inside. The inside is the main thing that you want to go for. And let's be honest about it. What is the point of having, you know, let's really think about this. Certain celebrities, you know, certain celebrities that have actually become celebrities that lost their dignity because they took off their clothes, na'udhubillah, and they took shots. Now, I'm not saying that any of us have seen any of this, but we know that it's happened, okay? We know it's happened. Now, once a person has lowered themselves down to that, and then the person is vilified in the media, and the person brings out certain comments and statements about this member of the family and that member of the family, and after a few years, you see that their husband and wife, they've fallen out as celebrities. And you see the wife bad-mouthing the husband, husband bad-mouthing the wife, in the media, all across the papers, and you kind of see the kind of language that they're using. What's the point of them being so beautiful, so perfect as an image in the magazines, but yet so ugly inside? It's like, let me ask you a question. When you're angry, would you swear? When you're angry, would you swear? Because I don't care how much of a beautiful woman she is to me, and to a woman, I don't care how much of a beautiful woman you are to her, but if you actually start swearing and you become abusive and you lose yourself, you lose your tongue when somebody is in an argument with you, then I'm sorry, but to me that's an ugly person. To me that's an ugly person. Why would you stoop that low that you have to use that kind of language to hurt me? Why would you want to do that? And you look at the pretty face and you think, wow, this pretty face. I'm just talking about certain people who might have got married, okay? Because I've got a lot of Musalli friends, people who prayed behind me, people, not only Musalli, but people who actually contacted me through Facebook and so on, and through other social media, and who've told me. And every week I'm getting messages about, you know, things that have gone wrong in marriage. And the horrible thing is, you know, shall I tell you something? Most of these cases, the men and women have got everything you would want to ever think of getting in life. You know, they've got a house, husband's got a nice job, everything's really nice, you know, like they're going on holidays, but they still have got problems. And the question is, why have they got problems? And you start looking into the reasons why. And it's all because expectations were very high. And let me tell you a secret. And try and keep this in when you're looking out for someone. If your expectations are really high, and you're trying to get all the tick boxes, oh my God, people have so many tick boxes when they start looking for someone. Like, you know, especially cultural people. You're bad enough. You know, you're bad enough with all your tick boxes. Then comes in your mom. With her tick boxes. And your dad's in the background saying, oh, what bulgia? You forgot that, put that down. And then forget that, you got the whole khandan. Everybody else around you, they got their tick boxes as well. Oh my God, you ever start looking for someone with that many tick boxes, yeah? You might as well box yourself out. You might as well say, I'm finished. Because you start, now, mashallah, you know, brothers and sisters who are practicing, I really love this. They actually say they want a simple marriage. They actually say, you know what? I just want a simple person, simple marriage, and simple life. And sometimes people spoil it. Sometimes it's your problem, sometimes it's parents that spoil it. And you know what they start with? They start with all these tick boxes. Okay? So she's got to be. Okay? She's got to be. One of the main things they'll say is the same culture. Okay, fine. If they want someone to be from the same culture, that's fine, that's up to them, okay? If you want to marry someone outside the culture, that's fine, you know, Islam has allowed it, but you've got to be ready for it, okay? You be ready for it because there's going to be a compromise. You have to go for compromise. If you're eating rice all day, and she's eating chapati all day, you've got to compromise. You're going to have rice one day, and chapati the other. Now you're going to say to me, I love you, but I love chapatis. But after a while, you're not going to love it. You're going to love it. You're going to look at them. You're going to think, how many satellite dishes are you going to give me? I don't want this. Get another one. Give me some bath. You want some rice? You want something inside? You know, you're used to rice. Seriously, you've got to be ready for it. Because some people are not actually ready for it. If you're used to curries, and the other one's used to something else, then you have to compromise. Let's say you marry some, you know, English woman, you're going to have chips with curry. You're going to have rice with fish fingers. You're going to have to compromise, do something about it. There is a price to pay. I'm telling you, there is a price to pay. If you're going to marry the same culture, it's going to be all fine, but there's another price to pay. Because once you get married to the same culture, you know, all your family, they know how to talk to this person. And they're going, causing sometimes problems. So there's a baggage on both sides. I'm not going to say it's all perfect on either side. Now, let's say when they say culture, same culture, they're going to say, we want the height to be a certain height. And they're going to stereotype heights. The woman has to be slightly shorter than the man. Who in the world said the woman has to be slightly shorter than the man? I tell you who, Bollywood and Hollywood. Seriously, you start looking at where this concept comes from. It comes from these places, or it comes from the culture where they kind of stigmatize a woman being taller than her man. They even, seriously, you know, like, if certain people, subhanAllah, I've seen this, yeah? As an imam, I came out of the masjid and I see the sasa, you know the sasa? The uncle, yeah? He's walking and his wife is walking 10 feet behind. Okay? And they're still talking to each other. Yeah, how about that? Because, hey, Toroko, you see that? Hundredi, are you listening? They still talk to each other. The thing is, if the woman ever dares to step in front of him, oh my God. Oh my God, it's going to be disaster. Where did they get this from? They got this from culture. Now, you guys are British. You guys are British. It will take time. We're at a phase right now. I think in the 70s and the 80s, it was like a complete no-go of marrying someone outside your culture. In the 90s, it started. Definitely in the noughties, it definitely came into prominence. And now, people are doing it more and more. We're still in a phase where it's going to take another two decades for another two generations, or let's say another generation to pass by, and then people will make it more and more of a norm. But right now, we're going through a phase where people will have difficulties in accepting all of this. The point I'm trying to say to you is that they start the tick boxes, and the tick boxes go down. They say, okay, next thing is, you're going to have something called, you know, what's called beauty. Beauty is at the top of the list. They have to be beautiful. Now the thing is, who in the world said what's beautiful to you is beautiful to him? That's the question. What you find is beautiful doesn't have to be the same thing as your own sister. Your sister might not find someone beautiful of who you find beautiful. Yes, let's be clear. Your mom doesn't have to find someone as beautiful as what she's basically found beautiful. I mean, I sometimes can't even understand what the kind of things they have in their heads. Talking especially about our, you know, Bangla, you know, because I'm a Bengali, yeah? You know, some of the Bengali, you know, aunties. You know, they're both sisters. They're in their 50s. They're sitting there saying, They're looking at her. They're coming to Ira, it's a proposal, yeah? Is she that tall? Is she really tall? Yeah. The other one goes, Kisusu tomuto like. Looks a bit short, yeah? Now how tall is she? This girl they're looking at. She's 5'4". Okay, 5'4". Okay? And the two aunties that are speaking, one is 5'2" and the other one is 5'. And I'm like thinking, what is wrong with you two women, man? Why are you making it disastrous for this woman to actually even be have a chance in life? Because you both don't even meet that. Now, there are hundreds of things they put in the tick boxes. They say degree.